Hello and welcome to the Pless podcast with Andrew Masters. I'm Ian Plested and welcome to Euro 2024 Pless podcast episode 6. This episode is mainly going to revolve around England's win over Switzerland that happened on Saturday early evening. Just before we get on to that, I will tell you that on djpless.com/euro-2024/ is all the previous podcasts and any downloadable printouts that you would like to print out. But welcome again, Andy, and thanks for being on.
Thanks, Ian. Good to be with you.
We've got to get down to what happened on Saturday evening, which by the end, I was so happy. And I've not had a feeling like that for a very long time. What were your feelings after the win?
Obviously, relief, enormous relief, and a feeling that we just about deserved it on the balance of play. I think first half was the best half of football I've seen us play at the tournament. We were very much in control. We were keeping possession. We were threatening them. We didn't really make many chances, I have to say, but they didn't make many chances either. And I felt that we were the team with the upper hand. Second half was a bit tougher, and Switzerland definitely came at us and they got their goal. They asked questions. We didn't always have the answer, and they got that goal. And then thank goodness for Saka and that amazing shot from outside the area that he threaded through so many players off the post and into the net that took us into extra time. And we just looked so confident taking the penalties. I felt that we could do it. Obviously, when Switzerland missed their first penalty, that made it more likely, but we've seen England lose from that position before. So, yeah, I was thrilled. And I also felt that we probably deserved to go through on balance.
Yeah, I agree. It was another entertaining game for probably the neutral, even that there weren't many shots on target, but it was a real game. And we created so much more than we had done in the previous four games. Even that there weren't many shots on target, we were in and around the box, which we really haven't been in the previous four games, I feel. And the build-up to Saka's goal was 14, 15 passes, and he played so well. Especially the redemption penalty as well, to see the smile. They seem to be very together. And I thought right at the end of the match, the celebrations, the smiles, the happiness to score 5 out of 5 penalties, which none of them looked like missing. Really a massive step up. But I know there's another step that they can go. But as you said in one of the previous podcasts, that's tournament football. We're in the semi-final now. We didn't need to play super football in the group phase because if we'd done, we might be out by now.
Absolutely. You could say that Gareth Southgate was being clever with his squad selections, being clever with his tactics. We only needed a win and two draws, and that's what we got in the end. And that got us through top of the group. And we've done what we needed to do against Slovakia and Switzerland. So we can't really do a lot more, can we? And Gareth has obviously borne that in mind. And it has been very frustrating, but maybe that was all in the game plan. I don't think he'd have wanted to leave it quite so late against Slovakia, but I do feel that the match against Switzerland was very, very well thought through, especially given how potent they've been. They made Italy look very ordinary in the previous round. So, yeah, it's tournament football. Gareth Southgate has a lot of experience in tournament football now, and maybe he was just playing the long game and keeping his powder dry. We're going to have to go up a level, obviously, in the next round. And obviously, if we're going to beat probably Spain in the final, we're going to have to be playing at our very best. But yeah, you can't fault it based on results. Southgate's done it again, got us to the semi-finals.
Yeah, it's difficult because you want to say, oh, it's so boring. But it's unfortunately the way that tournament football is going for the big teams. Look at France in the semi-final, and they haven't scored a goal from open play. And they got through on penalties against Portugal. They scored a penalty against Poland and an own goal in their first game and an own goal in the Belgian game. I mean, they really are playing the long game, I think, France. France don't scare me in any way. If we got to the final ourselves, Spain would be the team that would scare me, and probably Netherlands would scare me more than France because France just seemed to be, I can't say worse than us, but less productive than England.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I guess France, you think of France, you think of Mbappe, but you know, they have other great players, but it's really not come together for them at this tournament. They've not, yeah. I mean, England at least have scored some goals and and France less so, but obviously they're building from the back. They've got a very well-organised defence and they know how to take their penalties. So, you know, fair play to them. We'll have to see how they do.
Spain beat the host Germany in what was a very good game, actually. But Spain just edged it by scoring in the last minute of extra time. I would say that Spain did deserve it. They just were that little bit better. And Germany couldn't really play because I think Spain managed to stop them from playing as openly as they had been through the tournament. So it's a shame to lose the hosts. But again, Spain showing how good they are.
Yeah, it's not a great German side. But Germans are always well organised and they've always got good players. So they're never an easy side to play. And obviously when they're at home hosting the tournament, it's particularly tricky. But this Spain side have been the pick of the sides in the tournament. So I feel it is deserved that they have progressed to the semi-finals. And I'd be surprised they weren't in the finals come next weekend. But we'll see. You never know.
Games on Tuesday, France versus Spain. As with the previous games, I think it will be a long evening and maybe penalties again.
Possibly. Yeah. You'd hope for an exciting game for the neutral. You'd hope for some really good attacking football, but you feel that maybe France will be. Their game plan will be to stifle Spain, to play very defensively from the back and maybe hit them on the counter-attack, but it could well be another 0-0 that goes to extra time and penalties.
I mean, I'll go back to Gareth again. I mean, it was his 100th game on Saturday evening and I was really pleased for him, really. I kind of felt he was a bit vindicated with what's happened. I mean, we'd grown into the tournament, but the passion is really there with the squad. And I think, of course, criticism from before with the golden generation, we've spoken about it before, but that golden generation of mega players from the Premier League didn't get as far as this. And his record has been 3 out of the last 4 tournaments. We've got to 2 semi-finals and a final. It may not be the most exciting, but it's not the most attractive football, but it is exciting because we're doing the best we've probably ever done since those heady days of 1966.
Absolutely. You might say that this is the golden generation. This is the most successful crop of England players since 66, almost. They've got to a final of a major tournament for a start. The 1990 team got to the semis of the World Cup and they got to the quarterfinals of the 86 World Cup. But aside from that, there was two very, very poor European championships between that. So yeah, this is the golden generation. Let's forget about the Gerrards and the Lampards and the Rio Ferdinands, etc. This is our golden generation. This is the team that could really finally be bringing home some silverware. But, you know, we're not strong in all parts of the pitch. It would have been nice to have scored more goals. It would have been nice to have seen Harry Kane score some goals. He's been pretty quiet this tournament, unfortunately. Obviously injured himself a little bit towards the end of the match on Saturday and was subbed off. I mean, it's a mark of the depth in our squad that Harry Kane being subbed off just before the penalty shootout wasn't really that worrying because the players stepped up, looked super confident and were very, very effective at taking their penalties.
I thought we were going to struggle with the penalties just because it's penalties, but I was totally wrong. I mean, some of the finishes were outstanding. I mean, I've said it already that Trent has not had the best tournament, not his fault, but he was used in that weird midfield experiment with Declan Rice, which just didn't work. But I mean, his penalty was amazing. Saka, the redemption penalty. Tony, no-look penalty. I mean, he's been doing it for years, but now everyone knows about it. And Cole Palmer, Jude Bellingham. Jude Bellingham's was, I don't want to say arrogant, but kick it in the corner, let's get to the next penalty.
Yeah, he checked his run a bit. I've always felt that's cheating a bit. I guess you're not. It's within the rules. So he did what was within the rules and he got the goal. So I guess we can't complain. We see plenty of other players taking penalties like that. Super confident and absolutely. Ivan Toney's penalty. There's so many memes going around about that. Just speaks of the confidence he has. He's obviously a very accomplished goal scorer at Premier League level. And it's great that he would be that confident under so much pressure in a major international match. So it really bodes well if we do have to take penalties again this tournament. We can feel very confident that we have the players that can deliver.
The only negative I will say is that we spoke about it in the last podcast that Switzerland made 2 changes at 60 minutes and we didn't make any changes until they'd scored. And it's more reactive than proactive. Now, it worked, so I probably shouldn't be complaining, but it's one of those things where, like, I think he's going to have to bite the bullet and say, right, I'm going to put somebody on at 60 minutes just because you've got to keep it fresh and just something different. He wasn't proactive. It meant that Switzerland got the goal, but it's good that he did 3 subs and we scored straight away. Sometimes that's not going to work. You don't want your opposition to score for 91st minute, and then we've only got 2-3 minutes to react, and that's not going to help us. So I think he has to be maybe a little bit proactive to bring somebody on.
I think that was a good argument for bringing some fresh legs on well before the goal. The goal was, what, 75 minutes?
Yeah.
As you say, Switzerland had the upper hand by that point, but they definitely switched gears. They were looking the better side in the second half. And 75 minutes, I didn't feel that we would be able to have enough chances to actually equalise, if I'm honest. I wasn't totally sure that we could actually win the match from being 1-0 down on 75 minutes. So Gareth rolled the dice late, and it worked out for him again, as it did against Slovakia. But I agree, you can't be relying on that. Why not bring on those players 15 minutes earlier? Maybe we'd have got a goal. Maybe we'd have got two goals, and it wouldn't have been such a nervy finish. We wouldn't have needed to go to penalties. So yeah, it would be nice to know what's going through Gareth's mind and to understand quite why he leaves the subs until quite so late in the match.
Now, we've had a question on the podcast. It's from Veronica Plested. She was asking about the golden boot. It's very close for the golden boot. We've got Gakpo on 3. There are some other players, but they're already out of the tournament. We've got Gakpo on 3. We've got Bellingham, Kane, Marlon, Olmo, and Ruiz, who are all on 2, who are all left in the tournament. It's very close for the golden boot, isn't it?
It is. It's quite surprising that it's such a low number of goals. I think Lineker won the golden boot in 86 with 6 goals.
Yeah.
So it is quite a surprise, actually, that the tally's quite so low and that you could maybe win the golden boot on 3 goals. So yeah, it's going to be exciting to see who can take that. It'd be nice to see some more goals. We haven't got many games left. It'd be nice to see a few more goals from open play and a little bit of excitement for the neutral. And yeah, maybe pushing that total up beyond 4 or 5 as an indicator that, you know, there's been some exciting attacking football being played.
It's different. I know there's been all the own goals. I mean, that makes a difference. But in previous tournaments, there's always somebody who gets, you know, at least 4, at least 5. And somebody takes the golden boot, and it's 4 or 5 goals at least. But to be with only 3 games left and 2 for selected people and teams, that it's Gakpo with 3. I think he'll get another one, to be honest. Unfortunately, that might have to be against England, but hopefully England will get more than one and win through. But 3 and 2 goals with only 3 games left, it really has been a bit of a strange tournament that no one has gone, I'm the goal scorer and I'm going to get the golden boot. There's been no one like that at all.
No hat-trick, I think.
Wow, hat-tricks? Has anyone scored more than one? I think Musiala might have scored twice in a game. I'm not sure. Maybe Gakpo scored twice in a game, but I mean, hat-tricks? I'll be surprised if we see a hat-trick in the tournament, but I might be wrong.
Absolutely. Well, the player that scores a hat-trick could well win the golden boot. Who knows? That would be great. It is odd. It's very odd. And you think about the really exciting attacking matches that we saw in some of the group games. It's not been a boring tournament. There's been some really good attacking football on display, but there have been a lot of own goals, maybe not hugely more than in other tournaments, but yeah, it is strange. Let's keep our fingers crossed for lots of goals, maybe for England, not against England, and lots of goals in the other match between France and Spain.
Ideally, personally, I think for everybody, if France score an early goal in the France-Spain game, that would be pretty amazing start of the game, because we know what Spain are like with the goals that they are scoring. If France score early in that game, that could be a cracker, but I just hope we're not at 10:45 or 11:45 in Germany with penalties, but we shall see.
Another match along the lines of Spain-Georgia would be good. That was a cracking match.
Open and exciting.
Absolutely. Spain came out on top comfortably in the end, but Georgia really gave them a run for their money, and very, very exciting match. Georgia could have scored more than one. That's what we want for Spain versus France.
So we get to the semi-finals now. First game's on Tuesday, which is Spain versus France, which we just previewed. And then on Wednesday, it's the big semi-final between England and Netherlands. Now, Netherlands have been scoring some good goals. It's Netherlands-Turkey game. It was a good game, but Netherlands looked confident, and people have been saying maybe they are slight favourites going into the game. But it'll be interesting. As we've been saying, England have been growing into the tournament. I think there's certainly an excitement for the game on Wednesday. It's going to be tense, but I think it's going to be a good game.
I think it will be. And a different test for England. I against an established team with very good players and heritage, a tradition of playing amazing attacking football. So, yeah, I hope we're up to the challenge. The Netherlands are a top side and it will be tough, very, very tough. We'll have to see how we get on. We've got the famous 4-1 victory, of course, in the group stages at Euro 96 to remember from previous encounters, but we've also lost some matches against Holland since then. It's going to be a tough match, I think, and we're going to need to be very organised at the back. But I think Gareth now knows his strongest lineup. He's got players that can come in off the bench as well. So let's hope he has his thinking cap on with regard to the tactics he wants to play and the formation that can best give England the best chance of winning.
Some people have coined it the Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank derby because Hasselbank is our forwards coach. So interesting evening for him after being such a legend in the Premier League, but being Dutch himself, the Hasselbank derby.
Brilliant. I thought I saw him on TV the other day. I was thinking, what's Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank doing there? That would explain it. He's the forwards coach for England.
Apparently he's been working well with Tony.
Brilliant. Well, Tony's playing well, so he must be doing something right. He was certainly no slouch at finding the back of the net when he was a player, so I'm sure he's an excellent coach.
He was a manager for a little while, but obviously Steve Holland and Gareth Southgate saw that he would be good for the England squad, and it seems like it's working well, which is really good. Another good confidence for the squad.
Absolutely. Great to have someone like that working with your forward, experienced striker with lots and lots of tricks up his sleeve. He was a great player and good to have him on board, and he's a professional, so he will do his very best to get those forwards ready to play the Netherlands, I'm sure.
I'd like to thank you again for being on the podcast, and fingers crossed that we'll be doing another one with England in the final.
Fingers crossed, Ian. Absolutely. White knuckle ride, another one, but looking forward to it. And yes, let's keep our fingers crossed. We'll be previewing a final with England in it at the weekend. Look forward to it.
Just want to say thank you very much to Andy Masters for appearing on the podcast again. I know he's very busy, so I really appreciate his time. Thanks very much for listening to another Pless podcast. Another one will be out with regards to even if England get through or not. We'll be previewing the final and obviously what happens with England on Wednesday. Check out everything on djpless.com/Euro-2024. And I've been Ian Plested, and we'll see you soon.